Hi, hello, and welcome to another episode of the Gaze Into the Blue Light podcast. Whoa, that was fun. I'm your host, Steve.
And I'm Nikki.
And we're going to...
Scrappy's here, too.
Oh, yeah, Scrappy's here, too. With his face directly next to the microphone.
Okay, let's take a guess. Let's have a game. How many minutes into the podcast before he barks?
Okay.
Closest without going over is the winner.
30 minutes in.
I say 15 minutes and 10 seconds.
Wow. Okay. Well.
Closest without going over.
Okay.
All right.
That sounds like a bet.
It's on.
Listeners, play along.
Mm-hmm.
In the Gaze Into the Blue Light podcast, we talk about anything that has the blue light coming off of it that we've been reading on our phones and Kindles and watching on our TVs and screens. I'm going to be talking about a cool new book, maybe a couple books. I don't know. We'll see where we go, and we'll talk about some shows we've been watching, etc. since the last time. We recorded our podcast back in November, but now it's 2022.
Woo!
How exciting.
New year, same.
Same me.
I was going to say same stuff going on.
Same stuff. Yeah, not much has changed. All right, let's get to it. Okay, it's a new year. It's a new episode of the podcast. So I say we should celebrate by crapping.
Oh my God, you haven't even had anything to drink yet and you can't talk. Crapping into this.
Cracking into an ice cold beer. How about that? It is cold. It's right out of the fridge.
It's very cold.
Hurting my hand.
What's it called?
So the beer that we are going to enjoy today while we chat is called Lunch. It's an India Pale Ale from Maine Beer Company.
And it's so appropriate because it's high noon right now.
It is high noon.
What are you going to have for lunch?
It's actually 12:12. That's good.
I'll have the lunch beer. Thanks.
So reading from the back of it, this is from Maine Beer Company. Lunch is a special whale that has been spotted off the Maine coast since 1982.
Get out.
She has what looks like a bite taken out of her fin, which adds to her unique character. We dedicate this beer to her determination and persistence. Keep on swimming.
Wait, so that's her name? It's not a type of whale?
No, that's the name that
Lunch
people have
is
given
a special
the whale.
Whale. Okay, gotcha. When you first read it, I was like, wait, there's like a species of whale called Lunch?
No.
I
don't know what species of whale it is, but...
Oh, yeah, that would be good to know. Wait, is there a picture of the whale?
No, just the fin.
Maybe we can Google it. I'm going to look it up while you pour and see if we can find a picture of Lunch the whale.
Okay.
That would be cute.
So we've got a Maine Brewing Company IPA. It's a good day for an IPA.
Oh my God, do you know what I just thought of with Maine?
I don't know.
And I don't know if these good friends listen to the podcast, but we found out our good friends are moving back to the East Coast. They'll be up in the New England states, moving back from the West Coast, and I am thrilled.
We at the Gaze Into the Blue Light Studios are thrilled.
Thrilled. Okay, here's a picture of Lunch. Sorry, viewers, you can't see it.
They can Google
See?
It on their own
Missing
phones.
Chunk.
Oh, yeah, there fin. It is. Huh.
Aww.
Wow.
Wow.
Look at that. But wait, it was taken since 1982, so I wonder if Lunch is...
This photo was taken in 2008.
Oh, so Lunch...
How long do whales live?
Could very well be still around.
I'm going to look that up, too. You guys are going to learn a lot today. How long do whales live? Oh, okay. Well, it depends on the whale. Orca, 10 to 45 years. Humpback, 45 to 50. Beluga, 35 to 50. It looks like the longest lifespan range is for the blue whale 80 to 90 years, but I guess average you're looking at about 50 years here for whales.
Huh.
That's good.
You want some stats on the beer?
They probably can't live that long with all the plastic in the ocean now, but probably die after like 3 years.
Probably
from ingesting plastic.
Ingested a lot of plastic since then. It's fun to think about.
Good job, everyone listening, for killing the whales.
Don't blame it on them. So this beer, Lunch, from Maine Beer Company, scores a 97 on beeradvocate.com.
Out of 100, I assume?
I assume.
Wow, that's amazing.
Ranked number 8 in American IPAs. 7% alcohol. Yeah.
Jeez, I didn't know this was such a well... renowned beer.
So this is a East Coast version of a West Coast style IPA. Intense hot flavors and aromas. Tropical citrus fruits, pine dominate.
Okay. Love it.
Cheers.
Cheers.
2022.
What's your glass say?
This glass says Bourbon County Brand Stout.
Oh, that was from our trip to Kentucky, right?
No. This is when I bought that bottle of Goose Island.
Oh, gotcha.
Beer.
Mine says Fresh Hops 2016. It's from Claim 52 Brewery in Eugene, Oregon. Shout out. Huh. Nice. This is good.
It's very good.
I haven't had a beer in a long time, so this actually tastes really nice. I've kind of not really been enjoying beer anymore, but this tastes nice.
It is good. And yeah, it's 8th. Only above it for American IPAs is Sculpin.
Wow. Sculpin.
We've had that.
That's a good one. What else?
I don't think I've had the top one.
What's number one?
Susan Hill.
Wow.
Hill Farmstead Brewery.
Oh my god, we should try to sample these top 5 beers if we can find them. I mean, Pennsylvania, you're the worst with your liquor importation laws, but we'll try to find them. You could probably get them off of what's that beer delivery thing you used to do? Oh my god, what's it called?
What was that called?
We used to do that a long time ago in Oregon. Oh, dang it. It'll come to me.
I forgot.
I can kind of like picture the
beer delivery
logo.
I keep wanting to say Untapped, but that's not it. Anyway, delicious beer. We will sip on it as we chat. So first
Tavor.
Off.
It's Tavor. Sorry.
Tavor. Yeah, you're right.
I knew it would come into my mind.
That was fun to have Tavor. Maybe I'll do that again.
Yeah, that would be fun.
I want to chat first off, Headliner. Ooh, Headliner is the latest book I got from Lanternfish Press, which is a really cool publishing company here in Philadelphia. And they send me nice books sometimes, and that's nice. Aww. And this one that I read, it was really cool. It is called The Original Glitch by Melanie Moyer. It's got a fun cover. That's kind of fun, right?
Yeah, that is a super fun cover. Are you going to tell us about why there's a cat on the cover?
I will tell you why there's a cat on the cover. Okay. It's by Melanie Moyer. It is from 2021, October. So.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Still
oh
pretty
God.
New.
So not hot off the press.
I mean, the warmth is... You can still feel it, but I don't know that it's hot.
Is it a month? You think a month is the limit for hot off the press?
Yeah, there's still some residual heat, but it's not. It's been out. It's been out for a bit. But it is the Gaze into the Blue Light podcast. And so if you would like to gaze into that wonderful blue light, there is an ebook version for
$9.99. $9.99?
Yeah.
That's a heck of a deal.
And they sent me the. Paper version, but it went on sale October 5th, 2021. So that's
sweet.
Cool. It's from Lanternfish Press. I'll put a link in the podcast description.
Do you know where their actual storefront is in Philly?
I don't know. I don't.
Do
I mean,
they have an actual storefront?
They probably have offices.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know.
Why wouldn't they have a storefront, though? Money, I guess. I don't know.
I don't know. We could go there and ask.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it'd be cool if they had a little bookstore like that bookstore you went to for your birthday party.
Oh, that would be
cool. Like an independent bookstore.
Yeah. I don't know. We could certainly find out.
Okay. Tell us about it.
I will tell you about it. It was good. I actually read it really fast.
You always read everything really fast.
Well, this one was pretty fast. Pretty fast considering. Mm. Yeah, it was good. I enjoyed it. 168 pages, so it wasn't like a... Wait a minute. 168 pages? It wasn't 168
seems like
pages.
It's a lot more than
in
that.
In this printing, it's 360.
Okay.
I don't know what that means.
This larger print, that? I think.
Or maybe on the ebook version or something.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
I don't know. I just saw that on the back. Anyway, it's a good book. I would say this book... would be good for people that like anything having to do with virtual reality.
Okay.
Computers, computer programming, and artificial intelligence.
Okay.
It's kind of tough to tell from the cover, but you asked about the cat. So the main sort of idea of the story is... there's some grad students at this college. It's very college-y. It's very grad student-y college-y book.
Okay.
There's a lot of college-y vibes in it.
Oh, I might like it.
You might
like
it.
When I can read it when I'm not in college.
Yeah. Anyone that has you know, some good memories of college.
Yeah.
They meet up at a bar and talk about stuff and whatnot.
That's cool.
But, so I want to do this justice. There's a lot of kind of technical terminology in it, and it all sounds pretty solid to me.
Okay.
But of course, with books like this, some liberties are probably taken on what is really possible, but it all felt pretty believable.
Huh.
But they, this university department creates an artificial intelligence and places it into a virtual reality. And so, and then there's another one that's created, and things start to get a little bit out of hand.
Mm.
And it sort of plays with the idea that everyone is kind of worried about, which is what happens when an artificial intelligence, starts to, you know, think on its own and make its own thoughts and have its own motivations.
Okay, interesting.
And so it's a cool sort of thought experiment.
Yeah.
I would say the book is about what could happen if you created if you played God in a way.
Ooh.
And created an intelligence, a being of sorts, and you didn't give it necessarily any guidelines for what it was supposed to do, right? Because a lot of AI or like robots right now, as we think of them, they have a job, right? Like they do something, but for the purposes of this book, they're just kind of like beings of a sort that exist within the computer and are like blocked off in a box, so they can't learn what the researchers don't want them to learn. Does that make sense? And they can't go searching for
things. It does. I mean, this AI is not, I'm not hugely interested with virtual reality, but maybe in that way it would be good for me to read it to sort of like go out of my comfort zone. I think it's always good to challenge yourself by reading things that you might not normally be interested in, but it seems cool.
Yeah, I think it's accessible.
Okay, that's helpful.
It's not completely out there.
Okay, would be better for me then.
The one thing that I really liked about it was it was a good story, but I found that it had a lot of little things in it. So like I started to dog ear and note, like,
oh yeah, I do that.
Different pages where I could like go and look some of the stuff up that they're talking about.
Oh, okay.
Like ecosystems of for computers, speech recognition software, stuff like that. And I don't know. I'm trying to look through my folded pages to find something. But anyway, it's good. The one that I found is a brain builder, neural network augmenter, human imitative artificial intelligence. So it's basically, when you start looking those things up online, it's pretty crazy. I mean, it's neural networks are what our brains are built on.
Oh, okay.
Right. And so, but in the book, there's a artificially created neural network, and she exists within her own virtual reality. Mm. So like, she goes to work, she has friends, whatnot. Mm. And so to answer your first question about the cat, one of the first things that starts messing with things or kind of driving the plot of what happens is this AI who's in a virtual reality is like, she isn't growing. Like, she doesn't do anything different. She always goes to work at the same place. She always talks to the same person, but she doesn't know that she is artificially created.
Right.
And so
that was kind of like what was going on in that HBO show that we used to watch, right?
Westworld. Yeah.
Did they know that they were just in these loops, these like story loops?
But yeah.
They didn't necessarily know that they were not real, right?
It's been so long since I saw that, but I think
it was a good show.
I think that is one of the things that happens is
they start to figure out
what they are and where they are,
right?
And what
that
the
show was so good. Why did we stop watching it?
We watched the second. I think it started to fall
started
off
to
a
fall
little
apart,
bit. In
yeah.
Third season, maybe.
I guess that's usually why we stop watching things, is they fall apart.
We can try to watch. I can't even remember what. I know we saw the first season.
Right. Anyway, sorry.
So the creator, I mean, that's a good sort of comparison mm-hmm. for this book, is it deals in some ways in a similar concept. But the grad student who's like, he's a little messed up and he's got some drama that he's working with. Oh. Like it's a balance of, you know, his drama, dealing with his past traumas and stuff like that, and his relationships in balancing out. He sort of goes to the computer to find some solace. Mm. Anyway, so he's kind of like messing with this girl's virtual reality, and he decides to add something to it. To give her a little bit more social interaction or whatever.
Okay.
So what ends up happening is he can't add something in without taking something out. So he removes her friend and gives her a cat.
Oh, okay.
And some interesting things.
A cat is a friend still.
Yeah, yeah. Some interesting things. Yeah, they could be friends, I guess.
Yeah.
So some interesting things happened as a result of that.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah, it was good.
Throw off the, I guess you can't say too much, but does that taking away and introducing something throw off the whole like algorithm?
It doesn't throw everything off, but it certainly kicks off a chain of events.
Series of events.
Yeah. Where she starts to be like, why did this cat just appear? And why did my friend disappear?
Oh, so she has some memory.
It's kind of
some like,
yeah, it's kind of like a, what's that movie with, Jim Carrey, the Truman Show.
Oh yeah.
Right. So she starts to kind of
so
like,
good.
She kind of like realizes that things are happening in her reality that are very strange, but no one else in the reality seems to acknowledge that that they happened.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Also, maybe a little bit of early WandaVision. Remember?
Yes. When you're that like, show was so good.
What the heck is going on? So there are some of those vibes in it.
Oh, that sounds cool. I might like it then.
It's a unique story. I liked it.
Okay.
And it moves pretty fast. I cruised through it pretty quickly. But yeah, there's grad
students. I'll
put that
on my spring break reading list.
Computers, virtual reality, cats.
Okay. I'm into
human drama.
All right.
Relationships, people dealing with wondering what the point of their lives
Ooh,
is.
Ooh, life's purpose.
Life's
purpose. Love to think about what life's purpose is. Mm. Oh, the eternal burning question.
And are we all just part of a simulation?
Wondered that.
So if those kind of things are things that you like to read about and think about, then you should pick up The Original Glitch, Melanie Moyer, Lanternfish Press. There is an ebook and a paperback version. I'll put a link.
It is a very, very nicely designed cover,
that is
in my opinion.
Nicely designed
cover. I like
cover.
The colors. It looks good.
Shout out to Kimberly Glider, who did the cover design.
Nice work.
Good job, Kimberly.
Love it.
You can design
Loves
the
to see it.
Heck out of a book cover.
Yeah, you can.
If I ever wrote a book, I'm going to Kimberly Glider for her book cover designing skills.
Well, do you think you will ever write a book? I often thought that you would write a book. I mean, truly, I early on dating you and getting married to you, I really truly did think that you would write a book. I still think that for you, by the way. Do you know that I still hold this like goal for you? I hold space.
That's healthy.
I hold space for this goal for you just because I think that you really could.
I have goals for
but
other
I guess
people.
Like you have to want to do that. I mean, I think there were moments in time where you did want to do that, and so I'm not just like creating this out of thin air. Like there were times where you wanted to write a book, right?
Yeah, sure.
And you did start to write like a book that you sent to your dad, like you would send him like chapters or something, right?
Yeah,
like a western style book. Mm-hmm. Cowboy western.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
I've started a couple.
Yes.
I think I'm pretty much one of the only people who started to write books and then never finished.
I do not agree with
that. I don't
that.
Think many other people have done that.
I definitely disagree with that.
I know.
Okay, you're being facetious.
Yeah, I guess so.
But anyway, yeah, I mean, I hold space for that for you as future potential. I'm presencing that for you.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, I'm referencing what I read, which is just school books, so.
There's nothing wrong with a good school book.
Yeah. Okay, I'll tell you what I'm reading right now. I mean, I've just started. Oh, guess what? I haven't finished yet, guys. How to Change Your Mind by Michael Pollan. Sorry. Okay, listen, I do like it. I don't want you guys to think that I don't like it. It's very good. I mean, it was a freaking New York Times bestseller, 10 best books of 2018. Okay, it's obviously a good book. Let's see. I'm on page. Let's see. I'm on page 295 of 414. So I'm so close. I have like 100 pages left. So, I mean, the book kind of goes through phases. So I think I struggled a little bit to get through. So it starts with Renaissance. It's talking about how psilocybin and psychedelics are like reemerging again as a treatment and mind expanding option. You know, they had a big craze in the 60s, 70s, if you will, and then they started to resurface. The history part I struggled to get through. I'm not a huge history person. I don't really enjoy learning or reading about history sometimes. So I didn't really enjoy that. It was a lot of, it just felt boring to me. I mean, I get the importance of it. The travel log portion of the book. The middle portion was the part that I found the most interesting, because this is where Michael Pollan actually tries 3 different types of psychedelics, and then he writes about and talks about his journey and his experience. So his first trip is LSD, his second trip is psilocybin, and then his third trip that I was telling you about, which is so crazy, is when he smokes a toad. So trip 3 is called 5-MeO-DMT, or the toad. So it's a desert toad, also called the Colorado River toad. And so it has venom. It has these like pouches of venom that it secretes in like dangerous situations with predators or enemies. But so people who essentially like harvest this from the toads, they get the venom, they like milk the venom from the sacks or whatever you want to call them where it's stored, and they dry it out into like a crystallization kind of product, and then from that you smoke it.
I was picturing him smoking a toad.
Smoking an actual toad. Like how would that even work?
Some sort of dried out toad.
Ew. Oh my god. That's so
pipe
gross.
Or something.
Ew.
Talk about how the... Weren't you telling me about like how he does his trips?
I thought this was really interesting. You know, it's not how you would do... Not that I've ever done this, but it's not how you would take drugs and do a trip, so not to speak, with
really
like friends.
Recreationally.
Yeah, like it's not, so this isn't a recreational trip where you would just be like at your college dorm room listening to music, you know, taking LSD, whatever. So the purpose of these trips are for therapeutic, mind-altering, expanding purposes, and also to really explore if there's some type of like greater purpose to life, and to possibly have a spiritual or religious experience. Like this is the goal, but also a lot of people will do this to kind of uncover or heal past like traumas. So some people do go on these journeys and can like resurface an unconscious memory of a past trauma that they had suppressed. So that could be good, but also really, you know, difficult to work through when you're on LSD, I imagine. But the hope is that, you know, by resurfacing something like that, you could work through it. But the way that he does it is with a guide, if you will. So he meets with a bunch of different people who specialize in this type of treatment using, you know, psychedelics to help heal people or help, you know, expand their minds. So he goes and meets with a bunch of different people to see if he like jives with them. A lot of them have like work history and background in things like counseling or psychiatry, or like have done some different like learning experiences or training or whatever in different like religious type realms. So, you know, they may have gone and like stayed with Buddhist monks for a year to learn about them. So they all have like a spiritual element to them as well. And he actually talks about them not necessarily being religious. Like he would say a lot of them would have these like altars in their houses or wherever he would meet them, of like kind of a collection of a bunch of different types of religious objects. So like crystals, like a Buddhist statue, a feather from a Native American tribe. Like, it's sort of a being open to like all religions or spiritual experiences. But the way that he does the trip is they administer him the dose. And so they figure out what would be like an appropriate dose for him to take. And then they administer it and they get him like settled. So they all have like a bed that he lays on. So like they lay him down in this bed and they put a blindfold. He has to wear like a blindfold. And so they kind of will like play some music and just be there to like curate his trip a little bit and also be there in case he like has a bad experience or like, you know, needs grounded or needs help. And they like will walk him to the bathroom and stuff like that when he needs to, and then they'll like administer him like more doses if he needs it along the way. But otherwise they don't really like intervene with him a lot. The purpose of him laying down and like closing his eyes and wearing the blindfold is so that he can go into his own mind. Like that's the whole point of it, is that he's not being exposed to like external stimuli. He's just going into his own mind to see what he can find in there. And he finds some crazy things. I mean, he has some like crazy visual experiences, you know, people from his past come up, and he really becomes open to, you know, different ways that he thinks about his family afterwards. So it's really interesting. I mean, the part of it after that, like after he's finished with the trip, is like he goes and kind of recounts everything in writing right away. And then the guide also has like taken notes of like what he's doing or if there's anything he's saying. And then they meet up the next day and like review everything and kind of talk about it.
Sounds interesting.
That part is absolutely fascinating to me. So the other, I'm reading two books for my, one of my classes, and they are very interesting books. I'm really into it. So one of them is The Regenerative Life by Carol Sanford. And the other one is The Essentials of Theory U, Core Principles and Applications by Otto Scharmer. They're both very, our professor the first night was like, I just need to tell you that this class isn't for everyone. Some students have, at the end of the class, have been like, are these authors on drugs? Like, were they taking something when they wrote these books? Like, I don't get it. But I actually am really enjoying them. I think they have a lot of, like, grounding in, like, Western religion. So, like, Buddhism. Religion like Buddhism and like counseling, like empathy, active listening. So it's kind of right up my alley, but yeah, they're very interesting so far. So I've been kind of burning through them
and flipping through them. It seems like they aren't necessarily like, they don't have to be school books.
No. I think you could definitely read these if you were just, yeah, I mean, I think they would have useful applications in like everyday life or like working on teams, because that's a lot of what they're focused on, is like working on teams and improving yourself and opening your own mind and being more open to other people.
And presencing.
And yeah, being present, being mindful. Presencing is when you have an open heart and mind and let in the potential of like what could be. So like you are open to future potential of how you and the people around you could be. It's interesting. It's very like new age, like hippy dippy. So I mean, I could see how it's definitely not everyone's like cup of tea, but I like it. It's kind of right up my alley.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Awesome. Well, we're going to take a quick break.
Oh, okay.
And then we'll talk about what we've been watching. All right. We're back from our break.
Back.
From the ad break that brings us all the money.
Yeah.
Bringing in the money, honey. What have we been watching?
Oh, goodness. What have we been watching? I thought about, we watched Don't Look Up. Because I thought about that when you were talking about the professor or the grad assistants. It's a 2021 comedy disaster movie that we watched on Netflix. Two low-level astronomers must go on a giant media tour to warn mankind of an approaching comet that will destroy planet Earth. Huge cast, huge cast. Leonardo DiCaprio, Jennifer Lawrence, Kate Blanchett, Ariana Grande, Timothy Chalamet, Meryl Streep. Lots of people.
A-listers.
A-listers.
I liked it.
I liked it too. It got really bad reviews. I think because people don't want to acknowledge the truth behind it. So they're just like, it's still bad. But I think it had a lot of truth value and brought to light a lot of what has been going on as of recent, I think, with like politics and climate change and COVID. I mean, I think I think it had a lot of like relevance.
Yeah.
In our current society.
I feel like when people review movies like that, they see Jennifer Lawrence, Meryl Streep, Kate Blanchett, Leonardo DiCaprio, and they think that it's going to be some kind of super Academy Award winning.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Sweeping.
That's fair.
Acting fest. Mm-hmm. And Don't That's Look fair. Up really was not bad.
No, I so mean, I think it was
people
like,
set their expectations really high, like, oh, Leonardo DiCaprio.
That's fair.
It was more of a
satire
movie about what's going on right now in science and politics.
Right. It was like, I think I would like equate it to the Death to 2021, Death to 2022, that type of like, I don't know. Category, like, you know, they're making fun of the current situation in some ways, but also I think trying to, you know, make some points in a like dark and comedic way. But yeah, definitely brought to light the whole like science politics thing that we've been going through the past couple years, like, you know, the I believe in science kind of movement or whatever.
Yeah, so the basic premise is there's a giant comet or something headed, or meteor or something headed towards Earth, and it is Jennifer Lawrence and Leonardo DiCaprio are scientists that are trying to convince the world that this is happening and that they should do something about it. And
right.
Pretty much everyone they encounter doesn't pay attention to them.
No, and just has a different agenda. I mean, it doesn't line up with their current agenda, whether it be political, trying to get reelected for office, money. A lot of it comes down to money. It's very interesting. I thought it was interesting, like, Leonardo DiCaprio being in the role that he was, because at times he just got so like angry and irate and just like, you know, trying to like shake people and just tell them like, this is real. Like, what is wrong with you? Like, why don't you believe me? Why aren't you paying attention? Why are you looking at the Kardashians on social media instead of, you know, worrying about this giant comet that's going to kill us in 30 days? Because he's very active in like that kind of role in his real life, I guess you could say. Like, he's very active in like climate change talks,
mm-hmm.
and just trying to use his celebrity to like bring awareness to climate change.
Yeah, it's probably comes from a little bit of his frustration.
Yeah.
And a lot of people's frustration of like, hey, this is serious business and no one can focus on that. Like, they have that, everyone's focused on themselves.
Yep.
To a comic degree. And we're at the point now where it's almost hilarious. Like,
it is. Yeah.
Darkly funny how blatantly people just resist the truth about what's going on.
Yeah.
And it's to the point where it's funny. Like,
it is.
It's ridiculous.
It's so ridiculous. Yeah.
Speaking of ridiculousness, we should also talk about, because it is January and it's 2022, we also watched Death to 2021.
Oh my god.
That you mentioned. If you didn't see Death to 2020.
Both of them so good.
And Death to 2021. Both very good. mockumentary.
What can you say? Yeah, mockumentary. Big stars in those as well. Well, not big stars, but they have some like famous people that make some appearances, right? But it's all based on just mocking like how, what a shit show 2020 and 2021 were.
Yeah, it's kind of like news, but it's mixed in with a bit of sarcastic humor for good measure.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciated it. It was a good way to end the year.
Yeah, we watched it on New Year's Eve. Yeah, so I mean, it was like laugh out loud funny some parts.
I feel like I wish that was what all we watched instead of watching Pete Davidson.
Oh my god.
Miley Cyrus's New Year's Eve
party. New Year's Eve disaster. Yeah, we went back and forth between that and the, what's that other guy's name? It used to be
Dick Clark.
It's the Dick Clark one, but like, who is that? Ryan Seacrest.
Oh yeah,
right?
Ryan Seacrest.
Is that who it is?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Some generic white guy that is famous.
Well, that's the Miley and Pete Davidson one was supposed to be, you know, like it was supposed to be different and like fun,
cool,
and
hip,
young, and everybody in the audience was like, oh. Weird looking and
oh my god, the people were
cool.
Weird and some of them just not made for TV. you're not TV ready. Like, could we cut away for
a little bit? I think that was part of the point, is like real people and people just being crazy and goofing off and not as polished and.
And like definitely on drugs, like
there was people like, were definitely
everyone there was on drugs.
I get where they were coming from, like where they were trying to carve out something unique in the New Year's Eve programming lineup.
Yeah,
but I thought it was more cringy than anything.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
It was kind of a mix between Miley singing songs with people.
Yeah.
And then Pete Davidson doing kind of like Saturday Night Live-y
just
shows.
Doing his thing
sketches.
Where he's like, I smoke pot.
Yeah.
I'm dating Kim Kardashian and I smoke pot.
It was a little, I kind of wish we hadn't have watched that.
It's okay. It's fine. It's a fitting way to end a disaster of a year, right?
End it with something
equally disastrous.
Equally disastrous. Yeah. Yeah. There was one part where Pete Davidson didn't have his suit jacket on or something, and he was like, I didn't have anything else. I spilled ribs on it.
And there was a huge nip slip.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh my god, you guys, sorry, this is
we didn't
so
follow
feminist
up with that.
And terrible, but there was a huge nip slip with Miley, and she handled it, like, so well, I thought. Like, it wasn't like the whole Janet Jackson disaster from the Super Bowl. Like, she was just like, oh, yep, there's my nipple, and I'm out. And she just, like, kept singing, walked out, put on a jacket, came back out, and just kept on with it. I don't know. I mean, she handled it.
Yeah, she had I looked it up online. Fashion mishap. Her top.
That's a better way to say
fell
it.
Fell off mid-performance. And her shirt fell off, and whoever else was, who was she with? She was like with another performer, and they like stood in front of her. And
I think it was the performer that sings that song that I keep singing that is so ridiculous.
I don't
know. Do you know the one I'm talking about?
Megan
Thee Stallion, right?
Was that who she was with?
I think so, yeah.
Anyway, it was just a bit of a mess.
Yeah, it was kind of, yeah, the whole show was a mess, but, you know, I mean, I'm sure lots of people liked it. It's just not my cup of tea.
She did keep going. I mean, she, like, went backstage and put something else on and came back out and finished the song, which was pretty impressive.
She handled it like a boss.
She handled it like a boss. Yeah, I guess it was kind of like her thing. Like, she kind of ran the show, which is cool.
She did, yeah. It was. I mean, but like you're saying, it was definitely like the Miley show. I mean, it was like her singing. Like, it was like a mini concert of her, I would say, with mm-hmm. like some other things interjected.
Yeah, true.
But yeah, that was that. We've started watching Succession on mm-hmm. HBO.
That's true.
Crazy good show. We so finished, dramatic.
Finished season one.
Yeah, very good.
Some good dark humor in there, too.
Very well done. A really messed up, super rich family. Lots of family. If you like family dynamics, family mm-hmm. drama.
Rich people doing rich people things?
Yeah, if you like rich people doing rich people things. But, like, I mean, it's they're, like, though. Crazy rich, though.
Yeah.
Like, it's insane to see the things that they do.
Well, the thing is that there really are, I mean, sure, it's a show and it's not true, but I have a feeling it's more accurate than we would think it is.
Big time.
Oh, there are people that are really engaged in some of this ridiculous corporate and family society dramas. Yeah.
And it just further reinforces what I don't already trust about, like, the media and politics and how everybody has a hand in somebody else's pocket and, you know, mm-hmm. pushing different agendas based on money. Like, it really all comes down to how much you can pay to get your story or your version of things out there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Succession, we've been watching.
Succession.
Miley and Pete Davidson's.
I wouldn't say New we've been Year's watching bash. That.
We did watch it, though. I'm trying to recap here. Death to 2021.
Oh, we started watching the new season of Queer Eye.
Oh, there's a new
They're
Queer Eye season.
They're in Texas, which is very interesting.
Yeah, the one with the lady with the...
Dogs with disability or animals with like disabilities.
Animal rescue one. That's a tearjerker.
Oh God. Get your tissues ready.
Get your tissues.
Get
out.
Your box of Kleenex out.
What did we say before Death to 2021? What did we watch?
Don't Look Up.
Don't Look Up. Movie on Netflix.
Succession.
And Succession, which is on HBO. And, then before that, we talked about Your Two School Books, How to Change Your Mind,
mm-hmm.
Michael Pollan, and I talked about The Original Glitch by Melanie Moyer. Is that everything?
Yeah, good recap.
Whew.
You have a good memory.
Man, I'm surprised my brain is working that way.
And guess what? Scrappy won the bet because he has not barked. He has been sleeping. He's on CBD, so, I mean, that helps. But
that's true.
That's his medicine. So, yeah, he's sleeping. So, wow. Good.
He's on a CBD doggy treat.
Good job, buddy.
Yummy.
Yeah.
Dog drugs.
We drug our dog. Don't call PETA. I mean, we buy it at a pet store.
Yeah.
It's fine.
It's fine.
He's otherwise, his anxiety and neuroses are through the roof.
It tastes like peanut butter. Not that I've tried one. All right. That's it. For this episode of the Gays in the Blue Light podcast, we will see you soon.
Happy New Year!